Architecture Talks, the podcast about architecture from Jung. Intuition or analysis?
Intuition.
Perfection or improvisation?
Improvisation.
Typically Belgian, fries or chocolate?
I don't think there is something typically Belgian, actually. We just indulge everything.
Courageous in form, sensual in concrete, and precise in process, Belgian architect Magali Muntas designs buildings like sculptures. Her architecture feels fluid and almost bodily, yet remains technically exacting. At the heart of her work lies a fascination with the interplay between classical clarity and innovative experimentation, craft and technology, emotion and logic. Combining digital design tools with an artisanal understanding of materials enables her to take an all-encompassing approach where structure, atmosphere, and technology form one seamless whole. For Magali, it's not just about building efficiently. It's also about letting technology create beauty and poetry. Her search for a new way of building unites rigor and softness, rationality and sensuality, thereby reinventing what architecture can be. In this episode of the Jung Talks podcast, me, Diane Slavic, and David Lannoy speak with Magali Muntas about her sculptural approach to design, the philosophy behind her soft brutalism, the tension between craft and technology, and why true innovation often begins where rules are broken.
Hello, Magali, and welcome to our Jung Architecture Talks podcast. It's nice to have you with us.
Hello, thank you for having me and such a great intro.
Okay, we're going to go to the first question now. It's about the idea and the attitude. Your architecture is often sculptural, flowing, sensual, almost physical. Where does that way of thinking comes from? From craft or from art? How does the design begin for you?
To me, it was something really natural, very intuitive. That's actually how I always designed. Even when I started my studies in Ghent, St. Lucas, the first time I went to St. Lucas and saw all the maquettes and the sculptures in this big room that was before a convent, the room felt very sacred. And in combination with all the sculptures I saw, that was when I first decided that's the study I want to do. So it was something I didn't really think about doing architecture before. It just came to me. And I was already making sculptures and drawing and painting. So for me, it was very natural and intuitive thing to do. I never saw it in any other way, actually.
The intuition you talked about is also like your inspiration then to create buildings?
Of course, that plays a role as well, but it's more about architecture. Of course, it is not art. It has to live in a context. And I prefer that the building is different in its approach from all the different stances. That's why I design it as a sculpture, but digitally. I really sculpt in a digital form. But of course, I also sculpt the atmosphere in the building. It's not one thing. It's not only an object, but it's also a sculpting of the atmosphere inside.
So you want your projects to have a soul?
An emotion. Not really a soul, but that's what evolves from people getting a feeling of the building itself. I think that is the best way to describe good architecture is when you feel something.
So we started with the designing. Let's go to inventing. You once said, I sculpt my designs the way you would with clay, only digitally. What does that mean in your process? So how can we understand your process properly?
I really start like the same way you would take a block of clay and do it manually. I do that digitally. Of course, first off, I check the program and the restrictions, the regulations, and then I already have an idea of what I want to do in that way, the very pragmatic things. I already have a clue. And then I start with a volume and really digitally pull, push, so it can answer to all the other specifics, but also get a feeling of the outside and how it reacts with the environment and the context of the building. And that also has, of course, an effect in the interior, where you need certain rooms to adjust to the program that is needed. And I really go micro, macro, and go in between the different phases and layers of the design. And I always come back to check, is that okay? Is that what I want to say? Is the proportion right? For example, when you enter a building, the entrance, do I want it to have a grandeur? Do I want it to feel suppressed? That's a different kind of using elements. You can use the same elements, but in a different way. And that's how I get to my end design. So the 3D model is not really clean when I'm finished with that. When the designing is finished, it's like a total mess. And then I have to, of course, start again to get the specific detailed plans. And while designing, I also take in mind what kind of materials I can use and the textures, how they feel, the emotions that the person that is in the space can experience.
When does the design come alive for you? Is it already on screen, in the model, or on site?
Of course, I've been doing this for quite a while now. And the software changed a lot in that period. So I would say it already excites me in the beginning phase of the digital sculpturing. In the beginning of my career, it was really, really slow when you had to render. And even that moment was already like a dopamine hit for me. But it was like a scanline render was really, really, really slow. And then was like, yeah, that's what I mean. That's how it should be. Sometimes not, of course. And then you had to start all over again. But yeah, I already get this rush of, yeah, that's what I mean. That's what we need to feel. That's how the space has to look like or feel like. And of course, now with technology evolving, you can get to that phase really quickly. And then when we can implement the design on site, I get that second rush of, that's exactly how it was on my model. And the comparison is really exciting to me too. And that's also something like the first time you built something that is exactly like you wanted to in the beginning and it looks alike. That's like classical music experience. You know what I mean? Maybe I'm over exaggerating a little bit, but that was really the feeling.
Sounds very nice process for you, especially I hear a lot of emotionality in it. So I think it's really gratifying for you to see when it's built.
Yeah. So it's worth the pain.
Yeah. You have to have some pain to have some good feelings. There's no white without the black.
Yeah.
You also said you're trying to invent a system that makes complexity buildable. What does that system look like? What can be standardized without losing expression?
First off, I always prioritized the design, the architecture. And when the design was finished, then I thought about how can I build this now in a very intelligent way. I always did that. And when we had to build Villa MQ, that was my first truly organic house. And of course, we had to go through a whole process of how can we now build this organic house in an intelligent and a budget-friendly way, not making crazy decisions. We noticed that a lot of the execution, you had to trust in the contractor. And when that building had a lot of success And lots of people came to me, oh, I want this too, but it was in different regions in Flanders. And I could not always ask the same contractor because in Belgium, it's like that. They're from this region and they're not coming to another region, not like the architects. They're like, no, I'm here. I'm not going there. So that's the moment that I realized I have to get the way of building. I have to get this off the site, get it back behind a computer and make it dummy proof. So I can really have technology as a basis for my design. Like really the construction follows the architecture and not the other way around. It's a system that is totally aligned with my way of designing as well. It's making complexity really simple and pure. Because to me, that's the essence of, in the beginning of your text, you said reinventing architecture. To me, it's more like recomposing architecture. I want the building to be technological in the inside, more like a watch. You don't see what's inside, but it works and the outside is beautiful. That's how I see building. The system was more born out of necessity to go further with my kind of designing.
So is it a kind of intelligent prefabrication for complex geometry?
Yes, that's what it is. Very abstract.
Do you feel it's like a struggle with the contractors to get things done, or are they picking it up in the process?
Now I have somebody that I invented the system with, and he is the one that also has his team building the houses now. But it could also be implemented in another way. I'm not afraid to talk about it to other architects. If architects who are listening to the podcast now want to reach out, very soon I think I will be able to go further and talk a little bit more of what exactly it is. Now it still seems a little bit abstract. But it's really a way of building intelligently. I was really fed up with the fact that the builders were building with small modules and in the rain and like in this old fashioned way that didn't feel good to me anymore. And that's why, of course, in combination with the fact that the new clients asked me to build in a very organic way, I had to get to that way of being able to execute that and answer to that when they came to me, because it's not responsible as an architect. I think when somebody comes to you and says, I want something organic, and when I give a design something and then come up with no solution to build it or no contractor that is able to build it. So I really had to think of this way. I always go for an all-in-one solution. I want to combine everything that architecture can give us, the emotional part, but also the technological part of it.
Some architects say technology may kill poetry, but for you, that's not the case. It's like a good marriage between the two.
Yeah. I think the intelligence, the technology has to be hidden inside. And the outer layer could still be crafted. You have to still feel texture, or the fact that somebody built the concrete and you can feel the hands making the skin. And I think today it's different. It's the other way around. Like we feel this very non-emotional skin with something inside that doesn't feel technological at all to me. That's like some masonry. You understand what I mean? It's not logical to me. I want something sturdy. I want it to be airtight. I want it to be isolated. I want it to make sense.
Are the contractors proud when they see what they've realized at the end?
Yes.
I can imagine that at the very beginning, they're maybe a little bit skeptical about the design, but then at the very end, when they made it and everything looks perfect, how is their reaction?
Yeah, that you feel it. They're Belgian, so they're not going to say they're really proud. But you can tell, you can see it.
That's fantastic. You sometimes describe your work as a soft brutalism. What do you mean by that?
I think that's a little bit of the same thing. It's about the opposites and the junction of those opposites. A dialogue between the raw and the refined, actually. That's what it means to me.
You work mostly or only with concrete, actually, and your buildings never really feel cold. How do you create that warmth?
It's not all only with concrete. Sometimes I do work with plaster as well, but then I give it my own touch. To me, color is very important. I see lots of colors, and when a color is off, that can make me really go nervous. So I try to combine colors, really look at different lights, also on my 3D model as well, and also for structures or texture. I invent them myself. Sometimes they look like concrete, but they're not always concrete. I make it and then I show it to the contractor, and then they have to reproduce it on a large scale. But that as well is something that for me is exciting, because when you design or sculpt a house or a building, the finishing touch for me is also in that creative aspect of the skin itself. And I think as an architect, we are pushed out of that process. In the beginning, I didn't dare to show my own textures, but now I'm already past that. Anyway, we're responsible for anything anyway, even if we didn't do it at all. So now I realized I can go all in. It doesn't matter anymore. And so I really look and I test and I try, and then I try to communicate it. Also, when I make renderings, I also make my own mappings for the models and see what the size of the mapping could be. Sometimes it's really, for example, just a mapping of a gray dirt that I take out of scale, and then it gives another texture. And then I go back to the thinking process, how can I now make something that gives this emotion, this impression, and then I try to recreate that. That's how I work.
That sounds like a fantastic learning process all the time.
Yes.
I can feel you're defying the rules a little bit. So if you were like completely free of regulations, what would your next house look like if you were totally free?
Well, you're never really free of regulations. And I think I would put some regulations on it myself. Maybe I already design as if those regulations don't limit me.
But do you feel you need like limitations to be more creative?
I think that's also something that you learn in school, in architecture school. When you don't have limitations, you invent your own concept, and that becomes the limitation and the story. So for me, it's not really a limitation. It's more like a story, a concept.
So surprisingly, we're already coming to the end of our podcast. And to conclude, we are usually having one very personal question.
Oh my God.
It's not that personal. Okay. When you think of your houses, what do you wish people will feel inside them 50 years from now?
I think just the same thing as they should feel now, or that they will feel now. I think architecture plugs into that core of being human. So I don't think AI will change us that much, that in 50 years we won't be able to feel the same sense of space when it's secluded or when it's really big and when it's wide, when there's a lot of light, when there's no light. Those same emotions will still stand. And I think that is something that AI won't be able to take from us.
Just another one. If architecture were an emotion, which one would be yours?
It's never one emotion. It's the interaction of the emotion. That's also why my other concept in my work is actually, I call it memoria futura, a memory of the future. What is, again, like the concept of the contrasting elements combining. I want my architecture to really feel as a memory of the future, so it becomes timeless.
That's, I think, a very nice way to end our discussion here.
So we would like to thank you very much for your time and your inspiring words. It's always a pleasure to hear all the different perspectives from each of our guests. For us, it's time to say goodbye, and we're looking forward to the next episode of the Jung Talks podcast.